Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I'm excited about this series of teachings going to do for about 4 weeks, Lord willing, on Wednesday nights about Holy Communion, because I don't think most of us realize what we're doing when we receive communion and the richness that God intends for us to get. And tonight I want to open, Lord, I just pray you open eyes. I've been praying that all day. I just pray that you open people's eyes to see something they've never seen before. Hear something from you they've never heard before, and as a result, it'll change the way that they forever partake of communion. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Communion. I want to talk to you tonight about how God intends for Holy Communion. When you partake of it right in faith, not as a religious ritual, but as an act of faith and communion with God and intimacy with Him, that actually it will is to provide strength physically, mentally, in your body for your journey so you can finish strong. Okay, and we'll prove it to you. Okay, all right. Jesus was a Jew while he was here on the earth, obviously, and God told the Jews, when they were in captivity in Egypt, when they went through the plagues, the 10th plague was what? The death of the firstborn. Remember, the death angel was coming. Now, the Jews were protected from all those plagues, but the 10th one, he gave them special instructions. Even though they were believers, as we would say today, they had to follow these instructions, or else they would not have been protected from the 10th plague. Agreed?
Yep.
Okay. And God told them very specifically what to do. They were to kill a lamb, a Passover lamb. They were to roast that lamb together. Then they were to take the blood of that lamb and put it over the lintels of the door. As they did that, as they obeyed God's instructions, they would be protected from the death angel, and he would pass over that house because of the blood. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Last year, if you were not here when Brother Bruce did the Seder dinner, Bruce and Jane, this year, right? Oh, this year, right? Where am I at? Lord willing, we're going to do it again. I hope so, because that was the best Seder dinner I'd ever been part of. A Seder dinner is like a Passover dinner, where it's not a meal you sit down and, you know, feed yourself with food, although we have food and stuff afterwards. But it's to cause you to remember what God has done. And the bitter herbs, remember the bitterness that we were in and how God brought us out. And then you have the lamb, the shank bone, and all that. So it's a visual, a teaching, if you will, of God saying, I want you to do this regularly because you need to remember, humans have ADD. They tend to forget quickly. And so many times in Scripture, God says, remember, remember. Remember. In fact, Jesus, for the communion table, he said, as often as you do this, remember, do this in remembrance of me. We have a tendency to forget things. And so God established things, and Passover was one of those things. He said, I don't want you to ever forget what has been done on this particular night. And as a result of that, I want you to have this as a feast every year so you remember. Everybody say, remember. So the night before Jesus was crucified, thousands of years later, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And he does something a little different. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, we see on the screen. And as they were eating, this was the Passover, Jesus then took bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, now take and eat this. This is my body. Now this was new. They'd never heard that before. The Passover, the lamb was what you ate. The bitter herbs and things. But he said, now you take this bread. It is my body. This is new. This bread is my body, Jesus said. Have you ever looked closely at matzah bread? You know, these little wafers that we use in communion here and a lot of churches use, that's not really matzah bread. Matzah bread is a specific unleavened bread, and there you see the picture up on there, that specifically has three things. One, it's burnt, to remind us like of a burnt offering. A burnt offering meant a complete offering. There was nothing left, a burnt offering. And so it's burnt to remind us of a burnt offering. It has holes in it. Jesus' body was a whole offering. He was pierced for us. His body was pierced. And it also, these holes, when you look closely at it, it's like a line. I one time was in a chat with a rabbi, not Brother Bruce, who's a rabbi, but a rabbi, and I, you know, was asking about, you know, why are the stripes there? I mean, why is it in line? He didn't know. And we know that the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. So there was mystery in this. And so there's this matzah bread. Jesus said, this bread is my what? My body. Okay. And so now looking at Matthew 26, verse 28 in the Amplified Version of the Bible, look at this on the screen here. Matthew 26, there you go, 28. Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, drink all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which validates or confirms the agreement between God and you. In other words, this is the new covenant. The old covenant's done away. This is the new covenant that's poured out my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. So he was in essence teaching, Jesus is saying, I am the fulfillment. This bread is my body. This blood, this juice is my blood. I am the fulfillment of Passover. Are you understanding? So they would never look at Passover the same way again. He's come. He is the Lamb of God. He's the bread of life. His blood is whereby we have a new covenant, a blood covenant with God the Father. So he taught that he fulfilled the Passover. Now, remember, the Passover gave supernatural protection for those who believed, who ate the lamb, and who applied the blood. They had supernatural protection. Everybody say supernatural, supernatural protection. Okay. So with a new covenant, that didn't diminish. That didn't go away. It actually increased. I want to show you how. Okay, so now we look in Psalm 105, for example, was speaking about Israel when they came out of Egypt. In Psalm 105, verse 37, it says that God brought Israel, and there was probably 600,000, some say a million people. I don't know how many people the Jews, when they came, a lot of people, came out of being slaves, and automatically now they're out in the wilderness. God brought them forth with silver and gold. They didn't go out empty-handed. God takes care of you. When he leads you somewhere, he takes good care of you. Okay? They plundered the Egyptians. And there was not a what? I can't hear you. I want you to get this. See? There's not a feeble person among the tribes. Now you got to imagine, there's all ages. There's little children, probably little babies they carry. There's our age, middle age, then there's the older age. There's people in their senior years. And when they came out of Egypt, they got to walk into a desert. There's no Walmart, no Publix, there's no air conditioning. There's no water. You don't even know where the next watering hole is. All these people came out of Egypt, and they're out in the wilderness. You talk about a death march. And the scripture said there wasn't a feeble one. Why? The night before, they ate the lamb, which gave them the strength they would need to walk into a desert. All ages. I don't know about you. When's the last time you walked into a desert? You may think you're at a desert in Florida right here, but this ain't a desert. Believe me. And they walked into a desert. And God made sure they were protected. They had health. They had strength for their journey. Please say those words with me. I'm not trying to boss you. I'm just trying to help you grab something. Say strength for their journey. God gave them supernaturally the strength they needed to go into a wilderness. And God would provide for them. And there was not one feeble one. Not one. I think that's amazing myself. And now, I want you to understand something. When we look at the new covenant, the same blood, the blood of Jesus, that gives us forgiveness of sins, and that we go up and we remember we're in new covenant when we partake of communion. The same blood that gives us forgiveness of sins also provides healing for our bodies. But you gotta believe, you gotta understand. Now, Psalm 103 is a psalm that we use to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all our sins and iniquities and heals all our diseases.
Amen.
Now, is that just a nice thing to say? It's written there for us to claim. And believe that this is a promise that God makes available to us. So we bless God, who not only the same blood that forgives our sins is also the same blood by which he heals all our diseases and gives us strength in our body so we can finish strong the assignment we have upon this life, however long that may be.
Amen.
Okay. So... let me show you something about Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Look up on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verse 20 and following. In Luke chapter 5, here we see Jesus not only forgive somebody, but he heals them. So here's Jesus with a group of people. It says, and when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, to a man who had been paralyzed, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And by then, all of a sudden, the religious establishment, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these, they're going, that's blasphemy. Nobody can forgive sin but God. Well, yeah, I know. They don't know who he is. He's God. Okay, but we do. But here's the point. Okay, it goes on to say, but Jesus perceived their thoughts and he said, why do you reason in your hearts? Why are you thinking? What's going on in your brain? Whether is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? See, to God it makes no difference, because the same blood that takes care of sin also takes care of sickness and disease. See, to God it makes no difference. He says, what, you guys don't understand. So what difference is if I say your sins are forgiven or you're healed? It's the same effect. All the benefit of salvation and healing is yours. That's what Psalm 103 just said. It's available. And then, so Jesus said, so he's trying to illustrate this to the whole crowd there. So he said to the men, so that you may know that the Son of Man, which is a term for Jesus, God in the flesh on the earth, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I said to the paralyzed man, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose and departed to his own house, praising God. And Jesus just did that to illustrate something. The same blood that forgives is the same blood that heals. The same faith that can believe for salvation can be the same faith that can believe for healing. If you can believe for salvation of your soul, why can't you believe for salvation or for deliverance and healing?
Yes.
It's the same faith. It's not a different faith. It's not a greater faith. It's the same faith. See, it's the same blood that accomplished it all. Let me show you something. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 verses, it's actually Isaiah 53 is incorrect up there, but verses 4 and 5. Scripture is speaking about the Messiah, Jesus, to come. It says, surely he, Jesus, of course we know now, it's him. He hath borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken. We thought he was smitten by God. We thought he was a criminal. He was treated like a criminal. He was put up on a cross in front of everybody. No clothing upon him. Humiliated. He was treated like a criminal. We looked at him and thought he was smitten of God. God must be doing this to this guy. But no, Scripture says, but no, he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins against God. He was bruised for our iniquities, our self-willed, where we just said, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Iniquity. And the chastisement, the punishment, so that we could have peace with God, was upon him. He was someone who committed no crime, but he was treated as a criminal. He was punished for crimes that he never did. He was punished for my crimes. And I believe that. And then when you believe that, he's punished for your crimes. The chastisement of your peace with God that you have now came through Jesus being punished, being whipped, being beaten to a pulp to where he wasn't even recognized as a human being. And that brought you peace. Because there was a substitute that took your place. Now, we read that scripture, and that's the Old Testament. And the Jewish people knew, okay, when the Messiah comes, you know, he's going to, you know, do all that. But even today, they don't even really read Isaiah 53. They try to avoid it, don't they, Bruce? Pretty much. But if you ever want to lead a Jewish person to the Lord, one of the greatest places to take him is Isaiah 53, 6, and say, who did this? Who did this? Do you know? And they'll say, no. And then you show them the gospel. Jesus did this. Jesus fulfilled this. And then in Matthew chapter 8, to show you this was fulfilled by Christ, the scripture. The Old Testament concealed it. But the New Testament revealed it or uncovered it. So now there can be no question. So in here in Matthew chapter 8, look at this. When evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were under the power of demons. And he cast the demons out with a word, and he restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as the Messiah. He was showing these signs. You know, when Jesus... When he healed the leper, and he says, now go show yourself to the priest. You know why he was told to go show himself to the priest? Well, that was the law. That's what you had to do. But not only that, so that the priest would see someone has been healed of an incurable disease. They knew the signs of the Messiah when he would show up. The priests were supposed to know. No one can heal leprosy but God. And so when he goes to the priest, he's to show him, the priest is to go, wow, it must be the Messiah. That's what was supposed to happen. So anyway, so here's this Jesus, he's saying this, that he's healing all these people, exhibiting the signs of the Messiah. In verse 17, notice, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. That's just what we just read. He fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said, that he himself took our infirmities upon himself and he carried away our diseases. And then he illustrated it right here when he healed Peter's mother-in-law, had a fever. He touched her hand, the fever was gone. And he said, this was done so they could be the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. Are you understanding? So the Old Testament was concealing some things, and they were mysteriously written, and prophets didn't even fully understand everything they were prophesying, and the scripture had that there. And then the New Testament comes along, and Jesus is fulfilling these things and proving that what was concealed is now revealed, that Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the revelation. So when we come to communion, these little cups we use here, you know, have the little wafer and the cup and the juice, and they to represent three things to us. The cup represents life. Life. Jesus said that his life, this is my cup. Drink all of it. He's saying, this is my life. And we say in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. My life runs over with the abundance of Jesus. When Jesus is my Lord, when Jesus is my shepherd, I have plenty. I have everything I need to fulfill my assignment here. I'm not lacking one thing to fulfill the assignment that God's placed upon my life. And then we take the bread, and the bread represents his body. That's what Jesus said. The cup represents his life. The bread represents his body. And the juice represents his blood. And life is in the blood. His blood for us. The substitute, the great exchange. And so when we partake of communion, as we will in just a moment, we have to stop and pause and remember these things. This is the very life of God. Not that this particular element is it, but it is to remind us that the life of God has been given. Do this in remembrance. You need reminders. You need to remember. This has already been done. Your part is to receive by faith. Yours is to prophetically believe. And so, have you noticed as we age that we get weaker in our bodies? Is anybody besides me? My brain tells me I'm 40-something years old. My body says, are you crazy? I was up in a tree one day with a chainsaw. Some time ago, up in the front yard, and I got up there. I think I shimmied up there partway and got a ladder. I'm up there with a chainsaw on one hand, and I'm standing on a limb. My wife comes out and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trimming a tree." And then she reminded me how old I was. It's very nice of her, but she's right, because when you fall down out of a tree at 30 or 40 years old, you bounce a little bit. But when you fall down when you're 64. Ooh, ooh, it's a bag of bones, and she was right. So you live and learn, right? I don't do that anymore. Thank God for a good wife who teaches me this. So communion, when we partake of communion, why are we doing? Is this just a religious ritual thing that we do to be religious, to have something to do, to fill up the hour when we call church, we're being religious? No, obviously not. It has tremendous meaning. Some churches don't do this every week. We offer it every week on both sides for people to individually to choose themselves whether or not they want to have communion. But I invite you to go every time we have communion to do that. And you can have communion at home on your own. Where does the Bible say that only the priest, only the pastor can give you communion? Nowhere. Jesus never said that. In fact, I want to encourage you to get some bread and some juice and times alone with God to have communion with him and take time to remember. I want to tell you why. Moses prophesied to the 12 tribes of Israel. To the tribe of Asher, he prophesied this. He said these words, "As thy days so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, as long as you have an assignment on life, as long as you're supposed to live here, how many days you have, you don't know. May you have the strength you need to fulfill your days. You know, God forbid, none of us want to wind up in a rehab, in a nursing home, and bedridden, and you can't do anything. I mean, we don't want that. There's no quality of life. And so there's an assignment upon your life. And when that assignment is over, you don't want to stay here longer than your assignment. But while you're here, you need strength to fulfill your assignment. You've got to have a body. You've got to have health to be able to carry out the assignment. You need that. And God has given something to offset the natural part of growing weaker as we get older, so that we can fulfill this word. And so as our days go, so our strength be. And the way he has designed to offset that is he's given us this gift called communion. Just like Israel, they came out, they had the strength to go and fulfill their assignment. You are given communion. The lamb, the blood, the body, you partake of this so that you can have the strength to fulfill your assignment physically while you're here on earth. And a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people just going to go through the ritual each week, thank you God, and go on their way. And they're not realizing and they're not appropriating the benefit that God wants to give you physical stamina and strength and health and healing through remembering communion, what was done for you by grace, so that when you walk away from there, you know God has imparted a grace of strength to you so that you can fulfill your assignment. That's why communion should be a time of personal intimacy between you and God. You know, get the element, go to a part of the sanctuary, come, Pam and I usually like to just kneel over there and just have a personal time just thanking God and appropriating, thank you, God. You've provided the strength that we need. Even though our physical bodies are diminishing and getting weaker, you are providing the strength through the body and the blood of Jesus, through the new covenant, through grace, so that we can finish strong. Thank you, God. And we just appropriate that by faith. Are you understanding? It's not just a religious thing you do. It's not a sacrament. There's no saving quality. You can't get saved by taking communion. You get saved by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And that alone. Amen. You can take communion all you want, but it's never going to get you to heaven. It's not designed for that.
Right.
It's designed for believers here who God knows that their bodies are going to be diminishing in strength, and they need the strength to be able to continue the journey. And that's just one part of it. Tonight, we're just covering just one facet. There's three other parts that I'm really excited to share with you. But tonight, I wanted to encourage you, when you partake of communion, realize God wants you to be strong so that you can finish well. How many of you want to finish well?
Amen.
We all do. Finish well. Smith Wigglesworth, you may have never heard of the name, but he was a man who was a healing evangelist and had incredible signs and wonders and miracles, an Englishman. And he died at age 87. You think, wow, he was a healing event, but he died at age 87. Why? Because his assignment was over. There's no guarantee that you're going to live to be 120 years old. I know a lot of people like to take that and claim the promise in Scripture, but that's not a guarantee for everybody here that you're going to live to be 120 years old. If that were true, then Jesus was a failure. Apostle Paul was a failure. All the disciples were a failure. Okay, so that doesn't even make sense. Okay, so what we have to understand is that God wants you to have strength to finish your assignment. So if your assignment is over at age 87, that you can be strong up to that point. Moses was 120 years old, and his eyes didn't diminish, and his strength didn't fail, and so forth. He had strength that he needed to finish. Had he carried on to 121, it probably wouldn't have been, because his assignment was over. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
So Smith Wigglesworth died at age 87. Doctors examined his body curiously afterwards, and they said, "We find no sign of disease whatsoever in this 87-year-old man." He had no signs of disease. One of the things that Smith Wigglesworth did every day was he took communion. Every day. Him and God alone in his house. He understood, "God, this is how you keep me strong. God, this is how I'm going to finish strong." And so he took communion every single day. And he died at 87 with no disease. His time was up. Time to go. What a way to go. So tonight I want to encourage you, and I'll use the whiteboard in the next couple of weeks in a little bit more detail, but I want to encourage you to come to the communion table by faith, realizing God wants you to have strength to finish your journey. And if you're dealing with sickness and disease right now in your body, then claim healing. The same way you claim salvation, by faith, through grace. Claim healing, by faith, through God's grace. And we'll talk to you more about that Sunday morning, so don't miss Sunday morning. I'm really excited about that. Now, I would like for a... Wow, how'd you get up there so fast? Thank you. Suzanne's gonna play. And we're going to make this a very worshipful moment. In fact, what I would like you to do, instead of traditionally just coming down here and going back to your seat, I'd like us to all just kind of gather around. If you're worried about social distancing, you can distance yourself out a little bit. But I'd like you just to come up right now and just take one of these elements, and let's do communion together. But let's just be in close proximity to one another. And stay up here in the front, and let's be united. And if you need to sit down, by all means, sit down. That's fine. It's not a problem. Just be comfortable. It's so good to see you joining together, doing one thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And right now, especially, if you need healing in your body, this is the time to exercise that faith. Jesus has already provided it, but we have to, by faith, take it. Just like salvation. You had to have faith to say, "I believe that, I take that." And had to have a move of action. And the same thing you receive for healing. And so right now, let's take the little piece of bread out and hold it up and look at it. Jesus said, when you do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Remember, this is my body, and it was broken for you." If you had been the only person in the whole world, he still would have done that. So, Lord, we thank you that you gave your sinless body for us. And we receive it in the name of Jesus right now. And the Bible says, in the same manner, he took the cup. his life. And he said, this cup is the new covenant. You're not under the old covenant anymore. This is the new covenant in my blood. And he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And just like the Passover blood was put over the door for those who believed, they were protected. And you're under the blood. You are protected. And so may I say the same words that Moses said to Asher, but may I say to you, as your days, may your strength be. As your days, may your strength be. Receive strength in your body, healing in your body, so that you can finish strong in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now just lift your hands and just thank Him. Thank you, God. Lord, I believe I have received strength for my journey, healing for my body, and the salvation of my soul through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And if Smith Wigglesworth was here today, he would say, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. You want to say something, honey? Yeah. Okay, honey. All right.
I mentioned this to the ladies one day. But Smith Wigglesworth, he had a friend come over. Now, he never would allow a newspaper. There was nothing in his house about anything going on around him at all. He was only focused on what the Lord was doing. And he, his friend came over and said, well, how's Smith doing today? He said, Smith never asked Smith how he's doing, because it doesn't matter how he's feeling at all. So I thought, oh, okay, that's a new way of looking at it, because it doesn't matter how Smith or Pam says her body's feeling at all. What matters is what the Word of God says about Pam's body. And that's what he was very focused on, and that's why evidently he didn't have any disease when he died at 87 years old. So.
Amen. Well, love people before you go. And by the way, I have books up here. If anybody wants any of these books, they're some, you know, I've read through some of them to come clean out my library. Help yourself. They're free. Take them home or give them to a neighbor or somebody, or sell them on eBay. I don't know what you do. Whatever. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Suzanne, thank you so much, dear. Bless your heart.